glad that you are joining me today on another episode of the Amber May Show. So I'm sure you saw that bomb dropping video from Mojave County Board of Supervisors saying that he canvassed under duress under penalty of prison. So that made news everywhere. And this thing gets deep and this thing gets wide. And the thing that I'm finding out is we have problems with canvassing and certifying elections across the nation. So on this episode, yes, it affects Arizona, but really it affects you as an American. It affects us in every single state. So find out today what I have learned from the Mojave Board of Supervisors about elections and the process of certifying in our country. Hey, but before we do that, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Share this far and wide. Also, if you believe in what I'm doing and you want to support the Amber May Show, that would be so wonderful. Please go to theambermayshow.com and click the donate button. And when you do that, you can donate $5, $10, $15, $20, $100, whatever you want to donate to help support the show. We are not sponsored by Big Pharma. Also, you could always go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there. I always offer more content. Like I said, join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May, and you can follow me there. So coming up next is Ron Gould, Mojave Board of Supervisors, coming up right now. Excited to talk to Supervisor Ron Gould today. So welcome, Supervisor, to the program.
Thanks for having me, Amber.
Okay. If you don't mind, would you give a little backstory about who you are and how you got to the position of a supervisor in Mojave County?
Sure. I was about 20 years ago, I was a city councilman in Lake Havasu City. I then did 8 years as a state senator from what was the third district at the time, which was most of Mojave County, part of Coconino County, and part of La Paz County.
Wow.
So I did 8 years there, ran for Congress in 12, and then ran for the Board of Supervisors in a special election in 18. And this year I'm the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, and we rotate through. It adds some extra responsibility. So we rotate a year at a time.
Okay.
So this year happened to be my turn.
So where is Mojave County in conjunction to Phoenix for those that are out of our state?
Northwestern corner of the state, Lake Havasu, Kingman, Bullhead City, Colorado City.
Okay.
Are the four incorporated cities inside of the county.
And a senator that's very well known among people who have been following the election integrity of Senator Sonny Borelli, and he lives in your county.
And yeah, he lives in your area. County. Yeah.
Okay, great. So, man, you had a bombshell of a video, and it went everywhere. Everybody saw the video, at least I think everyone did, because a lot of people were talking about it, and people are still talking about that video. So the video that I'm referring to, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is Supervisor Ron Gould stood up and said he is going to canvass, but it was under duress. So I want to understand a little bit about the canvassing, because this is all kind of new to me with my understanding of all of this. How does this election thing work? Because the way it's looking in Maricopa, it's really frustrating for anyone who lives in Maricopa County, at least for the last 2 years. And so I want to talk about this election process and what it's like from someone outside of Maricopa, because it's, first of all, it's hard to talk to any of the supervisors. They won't talk to their constituents via phone, email, or whatever. So it's really hard to get a hold of them. But second of all, you're another perspective, and you are still in the Republican Party, so you're a different perspective. So walk us through what the election process is like.
The overall election process or the canvas process?
like the things that lead into the canvas, also, you know, about the machines, what was it like before the machines? How, you know, when did the machines come into place? I think it was like mid 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. Every county does things differently. We were using punch card ballots back in the early 2000s. I don't know if people remember the hanging chad issue.
Mm-hmm, I do.
When they were stuffing three ballots in the ballot in the machine, and it would punch the first one, hang the second one, and dimple the third one. And we were using those same ballots. I don't think Maricopa was using those at that time either. Mm-mm. But we were using the punch card ballots. We went to optical scan, where you run them through a scanner and they tabulate in the polling place like Maricopa County does now. We don't do that anymore. We don't tabulate in the polling place. We collect the ballots in a ballot box and they go for central tabulation up in Kingman. We also vote by precinct here for the most part. We don't do voting centers like they do in Maricopa County. And I think that's one of the big problems in Maricopa County is any voter from any precinct in Maricopa County can vote at any vote center. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know how on earth we do the test hand count, which is done by precinct, when you cast ballots everywhere. To me, that just seems strange. In Mojave County, we vote by in precinct, except Lake Havasu has two very large precincts. Mm-hmm. That where we have one has four polling places, one has two polling places.
Okay.
But other than that, we vote by precinct. And a precinct is divided by essentially the people that receive the same ballot. Because not everybody receives the same ballot in the county. You might live inside a city. So might have a city council race or a mayor's race. School districts vary. Fire districts vary. Things like that. So precincts are broken up to the people that receive the same ballot.
I agree with you. I think the voting centers was horrible because I remember voting in my precinct. And then at some point mid-2000s, it changed. And yeah. I remember we got a paper ballot. We had no machines and we got the elections that night. It wasn't an election month. It was an election day. And then at the end of the day, at some around 10 o'clock, maybe we got the results of our election. And now it's changed so much. So now we have voting centers and now we have these machines. I don't trust the machines. So, you know, when they were telling us that machines are not connected to the internet, there's obviously internet capability at the polling centers, because when we check in now, I don't know what it's like in Mojave County, but when we check in with our driver's license, it's run through the internet. Right. And so I don't know how they can tell us there's no internet when there is. And yeah, maybe someone physically sticks a thing into the machine and pulls it out and then sends that to tabulation. But unless you do an audit, you can't say for sure that there was no internet election interference in those machines without going through an audit process.
Yeah, you cannot guarantee that the machine is not connected to the internet unless you put it in a Faraday cage, you know, that would block radio frequencies, mm-hmm. and whatnot, and that you're just not going to do that.
No.
And we've created so many, it's a multiple point of failure system now. So you have to have, you sign an electronic poll book. So that requires the internet, because they have to make sure you haven't already voted at some other voting center. Mm-hmm. Then they're printing you a ballot in the precinct, which I think is problematic.
I do too. And I would think that would have to be like internet related somehow, because how would they not, like, I don't know how that system works, but in a way I would see that maybe perhaps that's internet related, because how would they know? Which
I don't think they probably have the format for all your precincts in that voting machine.
Okay, perhaps.
Maybe it's on some kind of a memory device or whatnot. But then you have to put that printed ballot into the scanner, mm-hmm. the tabulator, and they wouldn't read because they were printed incorrectly.
Correct.
But so you've taken a system where it used to be you signed a paper log, mm-hmm. the poll book, that was a piece of paper. And then they gave you a paper ballot. Mm-hmm. You marked that paper ballot. You dropped it in the ballot box. So they could do that essentially by flashlight. If you lost power to the polling center, they could still, you know, you could still vote. But right. Now it requires, there's so many points of failure that the potential for problems is great. You know, in this election, the last two cycles, at election cycles at least, Republicans have been voting more at the polls. Mm-hmm. So any problem at the polls disenfranchises Republicans more than it does Democrats.
Amen. 100%.
And you kind of created that by telling everybody to vote at the poll, the opportunity for that disenfranchisement. But that was because nobody trusted the machines and we didn't want our ballots floating around.
Yeah, well, 2000 Mule showed the ballot harvesting, and Arizona was one of those states. So people didn't trust that our post office was going to deliver correctly. Or and if we did, let's say the post office did do it correctly, there was already a count at wherever the counting place is in Maricopa County, and they already knew how much they would have to get to fill in the gap. So they would be able to figure that out ahead of time because it's election month in Arizona. So that's one way the Republicans are trying to defeat them, pre-knowing how many ballots that they need to defeat the Republican candidate. That was one strategy that the Republican people in Maricopa, and I'm going to guess in other parts of Arizona, were trying to discourage. So they didn't know ahead of time how many ballots that they needed. And so it's been a frustrating situation in Maricopa County. And our vote means a lot because we're the largest county in Arizona. So if our elections get hacked and messed up, does that not disenfranchise the rest of the voters in Arizona?
Oh, I believe it does, because I think the mistakes in Maricopa are, the number of mistakes is greater than our entire ballot, that the number of voters. We cast about 75,000 ballots out of Mojave County. So, and the mistake in Maricopa County is probably greater than that number of ballots.
If you had constituents come up to your county board of supervisor meeting and say they saw all these things happen on election day and they would like a new election, is it possible for the county board of supervisors on their own authority say, okay, we're going to redo this election and we're going to set a date and then we all can vote on that date? Is that within the purview of the county board of supervisors authority?
I do not believe it is.
Okay, that's good, because this is what I wanted to know. This is what was frustrating me.
We didn't have the problems that they did down in Maricopa. I had two constituents call my office with voting problems on election day. Out of my, I represent about 50,000 people. I had two people that had problems. We didn't have people come and testify at our canvas meeting, because we originally were going to canvas on the 21st, and we pushed that off till the deadline of the 28th. We didn't have anybody come with any problems on either one of those meetings.
No, I'm saying had the issues in Maricopa happened in Mojave County, okay, let's say the roles are reversed and our elections are fine, but Mojave County had all the issues, and your mm-hmm. constituents went up to the meeting and said, hey, this is what we saw. We would like a new election. Is it in your purview to say as supervisors, okay, we're going to hold a new election? Is that within your authority to do so?
I do not believe we can have the authority to hold a new election, but we do. If that was the issue, then I would not have voted to canvass. And then when we didn't canvass, we would end up in court, and then you take up that issue in court. I don't think, and when you think about it, you really don't want politicians in charge of new elections, because that ends up being banana republic stuff. So if you had the election comes in, and because the Board of Supervisors doesn't like the outcome, they can just wave that election off. You don't really want it to be like that. You want it to be a court process where you're going to have a court hearing, and then people are going to bring forth evidence on that, and then they're going to determine whether to throw that election out. And that's what's going to happen.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my original My Slippers are back in stock. Last Christmas, you made them the number one selling MyPillow product, and now I've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. And with your promo code, you still save $90 a pair. What makes My Slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra comfortable, extremely durable, and they help relieve stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere. You'll absolutely love My Slippers, and I'm extending my 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2023, making them the best Christmas gifts ever. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90 on my original My Slippers. That's only $49.98 a pair. Quantities won't last long, so please order now.
Now the moment of truth has arrived. Is it delicious? Is it not delicious? That is the question. So it has multiple superfoods. It has a lot in it. You're not just getting coffee. You're getting a lot more than just coffee. But hey, if you want to lose weight, this is one tool you can do. Because, okay. This looks amazing. That might be the way. That might be the way. It's nice, cool, tasty. It's a good refreshing. And I'm losing weight right now as I drink this. So that's AmberMae.MyAmfinity.com, and the links are in the description. You are listening to The Amber Mae Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. To your point, I could see that, but the way I see it now is the court systems have become so corrupt. They're not for us. They're not for justice. I spoke to Cash Patel earlier, and in previous interviews, he even talked about the two-tier system of justice. It's good for me, but not for thee. And they've put their people, because of fraudulent elections or maladministrative elections, in all kinds of places in the United States, whether it's your mayor's office, whether it's your county board of supervisors, your judge, whatever. They put all these people in place. And so what we've been seeing as we've been petitioning the courts across the country, it's not just Arizona, it's Nevada, it's Georgia, it's Michigan, and we petition the courts, they won't hear our case. So this is what's the frustrating part. So that's why as citizens of the county and the people, we would go to the people who directly affected the people who run our elections. We thought they could be the ones to give us a brand new election. To your point, I could see that, but when there's flagrant issues and the right. And your constituents are saying, hey, give me a new election. I had thought up until right now, it was in their wheelhouse. It was in their authority to be able to say, okay, I see what you're saying. You were right. We did have issues. We will rehold a new election. But you're saying that's not within the ability of the County Board of Supervisors.
I do not believe it is. It's an up-down vote to canvass. And then you even have the threat of criminal action against you for voting no on the canvas.
So, yes, that's true. So let's get into that, because I had some questions based on Joe Vaughn's interview with you. And so I need clarification on some stuff. But walk us through the canvassing process, please. What does it mean to canvass? Because when I hear canvass, I think of, okay, I am a precinct committeeman. I'm not sure how this election works, so I'm going to go door to door and see, did you vote? Did you not vote? And how did you vote? That's what I'm thinking of a canvass, but that's obviously different in the County Board of Supervisors.
It's a different use of the word.
Okay.
The definition of canvass, it means to take a close look at.
Okay.
Okay, but the Board of Supervisors is going to canvass the election in the county, because there's 15 counties in Arizona. You have 15 separate elections effectively. And then those numbers are turned over to the Secretary of State to compile for a statewide total. So when we brought our election director up, our election director works for the Board of Supervisors. He's not the recorder. He's somebody that the Board of Supervisors hired to run elections. So he comes and gives us a report. We're there to take testimony. The only testimony that we heard was positive testimony. We didn't have it. I said earlier, we didn't have anybody come and testify that things went wrong, but if things had gone wrong, that's when you take that input and decide whether or not you're going to canvass. So we had that scheduled for the 21st. We did all that. And then we postponed our vote until the 28th, which was the deadline, just to give it an opportunity for any more problems to rise to the surface so that we could deal with those. So then on the 28th, after we postponed, we received a letter from the Secretary of State's office. Her election director sent us a letter that said that we were going to be held liable if we voted not to canvass.
This is where I get caught up. Okay, I know that we have such corruption in our country. I get that. I do. But how does she get to threaten you when you also hold a political office? Can you walk me through that part? Because this is where I have a I'm not understanding this. Like, how does she feel she has the authority to threaten you for doing something that's within your political office, whether you want to canvass or not?
Right. It's in state statute. All the election laws in Title 16 of state statute. There's a, I think it's 16 dash, I think 246 talks about the canvass. 16-10-10 is the criminal statute to if you don't uphold your duty as an election official, that you're potentially can be charged with a class 6 felony, and a class 6 felony is 4 months to 5 3/4 years in prison.
But if you don't feel like your election is certifiable, how can you? Because you took an oath of office.
Right.
You took an oath in office. If you signed off on your election and say, hey, I took an oath of office and I am testifying by signing this document that the election was done perfectly. And then if your constituents find out you didn't even bother to look at anything and it was not done perfectly, aren't you then held liable because now you lied on that document saying it was done, our election was done perfectly, we checked it off? Now, aren't you held liable for doing something illegal at that point if it comes and we find out that the election did have major problems? Aren't you held responsible for that?
I would think you would be in that scenario.
Yes.
The scenario, I don't think that the Secretary of State, I think they misinterpret that law. To essentially what our attorney told us, that the way that they were interpreting it was if we voted no, then we were subject to a criminal penalty. I don't believe that that's the correct interpretation of that statute. I believe that if you wouldn't schedule the vote to canvass, then you would not be doing your duty.
Right.
Because they're coercing you to vote yes. So they've effectively through that interpretation, they've made the canvas is a rubber stamp.
Yeah, well, you have no choice.
Look is going on. So if you're our election official and you decide you're not going to answer my questions, you're going to ride it out till the 28th, which is the deadline, and then we're going to have to canvas anyway under the interpretation of the Secretary of State. I think that's an improper interpretation, and I'll be seeking an attorney general opinion on that interpretation, because I think that's wrong. But that was also the interpretation from our county attorney, that because he's the one that's advising us at the dais.
So he's advising you that the Secretary of State's interpretation was correct, that if you do not canvass, if you don't put your name on this piece of paper saying the election is certifiable, then you could face criminal penalties?
Exactly. Which is, I didn't have any problems with our election. I have a big problem with that interpretation, which is why I voted yes under duress. If we had a problem, if I was a Maricopa County supervisor, I would have voted no, because you'd have had a basis to challenge that interpretation. We didn't really have a basis to not certify because we had no reported problems.
But let me ask you this, because I was under the, I had the information, and maybe it's not correct, but the information that I have available to me is that our machines were not certifiable to begin with, because the lab or the company that was supposed to certify our machines did not have accreditation at certification, which would fall under some state statute to make these none of our elections legal to begin with. Did you hear anything about that?
We received a letter, a complaint about that. And they took, this is before the election, and our county attorney took a look at that, and there's some kind of a grace period inside of, it's a 3-year certification for some reason. So there's another year in there, and they didn't think that that was a legitimate claim.
Hmm. Who didn't? Your attorney or the person who gave you the letter?
The county attorney.
Interesting. How much do we really trust these attorneys is what I want to know, because from what I've been seeing, every time we go to a legal remedy, the GOP is always finding themselves as the losing side of these GOP of the courts. I mean, I guess that's all you have is next to you is your county attorney, and mm-hmm. and that's the best you can do, and you're just hoping that they give you correct information. But I'm just at a point where I just don't know anymore what is right as far as what our legal experts are telling us, because what I'm seeing in with my own eyes and what I'm experiencing with myself, there is something very wrong in our elections. And every time we turn to a legal remedy, we do not get the fix that we need. So it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating.
A week from Thursday, I scheduled a meeting of the Mojave County Board of Supervisors to discuss whether we will be bringing suit against Maricopa County and against the Secretary of State's office for their incompetence in the election and the disenfranchisement of Mojave County voters. A week from Thursday, and we'll see whether the supervisors vote to join that lawsuit or not.
I would hope so, because the senator in your district is very pro-election integrity. I can't imagine what he's feeling right now as he saw the Maricopa County election happen. And I can't imagine what rural Arizona must be feeling when they see all the maladministration of the Maricopa County election, which is very important. And let me tell you, sir, there are a ton of Republicans here. How they change a state from red to blue is through the election process. They get somehow they will get a Democrat governor during the time when we have to redistrict our state every 10 years. And those governors get to pick the Republicans, the Democrats, the independents that go and sit and figure out where our state lines will be. That's why it's important for the citizens to get involved. This year, I was one of those people to get involved because they were going to mess up my legislative district. Our legislative district is super, super red, and they were going to break that up and draw the lines in a weird way that really didn't make sense. If you're familiar with Phoenix, they were going to take, I'm in Peoria, and they were going to take our lines past the I-10 south of I-10. It just did not make any sense whatsoever.
My daughter lives in Glendale, and she's in the same congressional district as we are in Mojave County.
Oh, how crazy. I did not know that. So who's your congressional candidate? Is it Debbie Lesko? Or?
Think that she would be in Lesko's district because Lesko actually goes to the same church she goes to. But she's not. It's just the weird way that the districts lay out. Actually, how the redistricting commission works is the governor has no part in it. The Senate president and the minority leader in the Senate each get a pick. The Speaker of the House and the minority leader in the House each get a pick. And then those four people pick the chairman who's supposed to be a PND, an independent.
Okay.
That's how the process works. And it all hinges on who gets their choice as the chairman.
Okay.
When I was a senator, we actually convinced the governor, that was Brewer at the time, to attempt to remove the chairman from the redistricting commission. And then the Senate voted to confirm that decision. And the court put that chairman back in their position.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Stamm, EPSWealthManagement.com. there you can go ahead and contact them and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you.
The information provided in this commentary is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. It should not be considered a solicitation to buy or an offer or sell a security. It does not take into account any investor's particular investment objectives, strategies, tax status, or investment horizons. You should contact your attorney or tax advisor. The views expressed in this commentary are subject to change based on market and other conditions. This commentary may contain certain statements that may be deemed forward-looking statements. Please note that any such statements are not guaranteed of any future performance or actual result, or development may differ materially from those projected.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code Amber, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had to cut it. Cut the piece just like the sliver, and I got to have three pieces.
What'd you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich, really yummy. I had the chocolate, and it was very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout.
Hey, everybody, this is Cash Patel, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. Whoa. See, that was my understanding, because I was a part of it for the first time, going down and talking to the committee and telling them, hey, I don't understand why you're doing this the way you're redistricting my district. It doesn't make any sense. It's not like communities. So I was a part of that process, and I encourage all of my fellow Arizonans and even my fellow Americans, get involved in that, because one decision like that could really have an effect on your election process. Sure. But how does it, okay, let's, so the canvas is taking a closer look. So what do you guys do as supervisors to take a closer look on the election that had just occurred, or, you know, in the future had just occurred?
Well, what's interesting is we can't take a very close look, because I requested what's called the cast vote roll.
Okay. What is that?
It's the list of how the ballots were cast. So every ballot's got a number on it. Mm-hmm. So for that number, it'll tell you how that ballot was cast. It doesn't tell you who voted that ballot,
okay,
but it tells you how that ballot was cast, and you can compare that to the scans of the ballots to make sure that the machines are tabulating correctly. Well, we found out that that has to be sequestered for 22 months along with the ballots.
Wait. Pause that thought for a second, because I'm going back to the Arizona audit from our state senators, and they were subpoenaing the ballots. Okay. Do you not have access to the paper ballots? Like, because they had to get everything from the County Board of Supervisors. So it was under my impression that the County Board of Supervisors has access to all of the election stuff. Is that only not correct?
Only by court order.
Seriously?
We're exploring a court order right now to get that information, but it's not available to us readily, only through a court order. So you can't really take that close of a look. So what you end up doing is you're looking for citizen complaint, your voter complaints, complaints from poll workers, and what the election director tells you. So that's as deep of a close look as you get to take.
And so you're forced to now sign your name on this right. Legal piece of paper that says, as a supervisor, I swore an oath to the Constitution. I swore an oath to my constituents that I took a closer look, that the election is, it was a good, clean, fair election. But yet you're telling me that you don't have access to this information to be able to do that. Because, wow, under my, after what I saw with the audit, it was my understanding that as a county supervisor, it's so easy for you guys to get the information because you guys are the ones who have the information. And so what you're saying is that's not the case.
No, I think they went and the Senate got a court order to get that information. I don't think it's not available to the supervisors.
Interesting. That is very fascinating. Because
it gets worse and worse the more you talk about it.
No kidding. No kidding, because that was not clear to me with Joe Vaughn's interview. How come you couldn't get it? Because just from what I watched, and I watched that audit very closely, and that back and forth between the Senate and the County Board of Supervisors, I watched that very closely, and it was very frustrating because I'm like, you have the information. You guys are in charge of. And I felt like they were on purpose not giving them the ballots. Mm-hmm. But you're saying they didn't have that authority to begin. They didn't even have it. So where are the ballots at? So where is all the election stuff at? If you, as the administrator of an election, can't have access to it, who the heck has access? Where is this stuff?
Oh, it's up on the second floor of the county building in the safe room that they keep the ballots in.
And as an elected official of the county, you are forbidden from going to the second floor?
No, not to go into that room. To go into that room, I don't have access to that room. Without a court order.
Really? Well, who has access to it?
The election director does.
Well, can you go with him and he'll open it for you and you guys as supervisors take that closer look at looking through the ballots? Is that a possibility?
No, they won't even let us look at it.
Your director won't let you look at it. Yeah. Is that across the state? Like all these directors will not let you look at it.
Across the country, actually, is what I was talking to somebody, and that was the same rule across the country. It's actually a federal rule of sequestration of the ballots.
When did this rule come into place? This is what I want to know. When did this rule come into place?
I do not know the origin of it. I know they sequestered the ballots for a period of time. Because we were back in 2005, the legislature changed a bunch of the election rules because you had messed up elections in 2004. You had vote machines in Maricopa County that were 18% out of calibration. So they're doing a recount and it's flipping 500 votes in a legislative district.
It hasn't stopped. They're still doing it just on a slider scale. Right. I mean, we've had President Obama, okay, he was making a speech during his campaign, and he said, thank God the Democrats are in control of the election machines. Why would you say that? He even admitted it. He's like, it depends who's in charge, and everyone has messed around with I'm paraphrasing, but he said it. He said it in his campaign. So we know this has been happening for some time. So 2020 was not an anomaly. It just happened on a larger scale to where you and I and the rest of the state could see it for the first time in our life.
You had trouble in the 18 election also.
That's true too. You had
Adrian Fontes setting up emergency voting centers in Democrat districts on a Friday in an emergency court hearing. But strangely enough, the Sinema campaign had door hangers already ready to go, telling people where to go.
Of course they did.
This has been at least three cycles that they've had trouble under the current system.
Wow. Okay. So I'm getting this straight. Your director will not give you access to the second floor where the ballots are at. So you cannot really do your job because you are forbidden from seeing anything election related, even though you're responsible for conducting the election. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, I'm limited to what I'm supposed to do a canvas, which is to take a close look, but I'm limited by state law and federal law on how close of a look I can take, and it's not a very close look.
How frustrated are you as an elected official? Because as someone who's a voter, that is very infuriating.
Sure. No, I was very upset at the meeting. which is why I was under duress, because I was forced to vote on something that I can't guarantee is copacetic. But yet, if I don't vote, then I go to jail. Since we didn't have a reported trouble, then I was a little bit willing, you know, wasn't willing to get thrown in jail over it. If we had a bunch of trouble, then I might have went to jail over it.
No kidding. Wow. But still, Mr. Gould, you could, I mean, potentially, okay, let's say that it somehow we discover the entire state of Arizona is compromised. Now your name is on a piece of paper saying that you did your job. Now you didn't. I still feel like all of the supervisors in our state are now potentially, if it ever came out, okay, that it was so compromised, you could face some kind of legal issue, because now, like, that is a document that is, like, to me, when you canvass, that's a legal document. You are swearing, aren't you swearing, kind of, sort of, that this is a good election and everything's fine?
No, you're taking a vote that says that this election is fine.
Okay. All right. So
I signed the order of the vote. Because I'm chairman, so every time you take a vote on something, there's a piece of paper that says what that was, and I signed that as the chairman. But you didn't swear an oath over that particular thing. You swear an oath that once that you're termed up, both the state and the federal constitution.
Why hasn't this ever been brought up before to the voters of our state and across the nation that our county board of supervisors, when they canvass, they don't actually have access to the material? Why hasn't this ever come out before until now?
I have no idea. And I didn't, this is not the first election I've canvassed. I've been a supervisor for 4 years. So I canvassed the 20 election also, you know, we tried to stall that one off the same way we stalled this one off, because we wanted more time for any problems to rise to the top.
Were you threatened back then?
No.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. It's the person who has the most to lose is the one who's threatening. Then we find out in the Twitter file she had access to stopping her opponents from posting anything on Twitter. She is obviously threatened our county board of supervisors, and not just you. I think she also did Cochise County.
Yeah.
And so you guys are being forced to sign off on something you don't have access to. You're right. This whole thing is a mess. So what is the solution to this problem? Because obviously, if she gets certified as governor, no matter what election integrity, you've been in the Senate, or legislator, no matter what election integrity bill that might be passed by both houses, which will be very slim, because I truly think there's more Republicans that actually won their legislative district, but I'll never know unless something massive happens in my county. I'll never know. It's going to be slim to pass any good legislative laws. And if they do, what's the chances of her signing that? More likely she would veto that, correct? I mean,
right. Yeah, we're in a fix. It's a pickle, because you're not, like you said, you've got a skinny Republican majority in the legislature. And even if you can get something out, which they couldn't really get much out last session either.
Correct.
And what they did get out ended up getting thrown out over a single subject challenge in court, you know, that they had more than one subject on a bill. And, but if you were to pass anything out of the legislature in the upcoming session, the odds are slim that a Governor Hobbs would sign that. So your only recourse is to go to the voters with it, because the legislature can send things to the voters and bypass the governor, but that wouldn't come into play until the 24 election. So it wouldn't be in effect until the 26 election.
And you're assuming that they won't fix that at the polling place when we cast our vote. That's assuming they're not going to mess with that initiative on the ballot.
Right.
That's a big assumption. So again, it's like, now what do we do? Oh man. It's really crazy how now we're just watching in front of our eyes, our state is.
Right.
And not just our state, but if you think about the greater issue that's going on, your fundamental constitutional right has just been stripped away from you.
Right. They've been cheating for a long time. It's interesting. I had a friend of mine that was in the legislature back in the 1960s. And when I got started running for office, he gave me a book. And the title of this book is Win Big So They Can't Cheat.
That's what happened with 2020. That's why Hillary Clinton said it was fixed, because it was fixed, but it wasn't fixed enough. And Donald Trump got in because they did not anticipate that many people turning out to vote for Donald Trump. And that's how this all thing blew up. On one hand, I am so grateful for that election. On one hand, I'm so grateful for 2016, I'm talking about. But the 2020 election, I'm so grateful for, because it showed on a massive scale to a lot of American people how they've taken over every institution that we have. Like I was telling you, the frustration of the court. I mean, every time we try to go, we never get a win at the court. And that is very frustrating.
But I tried to, we have elect, the rural counties have elected Superior Court judges. Maricopa and Pima counties, the judges are under retention. So you don't get to vote against, do you want Judge Smith or Judge Jones?
Right.
You get to say, shall Judge Jones be retained? Mm-hmm. And without an opponent, then you really don't have an election. True. Well, you've only turned out two judges since 1973 when they started the judicial retention system. And that was the one judge that got turned out was the second time he got caught selling weed, that he actually lost his seat. I tried to change that when I was in the legislature, to go to the direct, go back to the election of judges and the election of Supreme Court justices also. Couldn't get anywhere with it, just because it's just too big of a nut to crack. But there's no check on the judges.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And that's when you go to court, if you don't have an elected judge, there's really, you're gonna have a hard time beating that judge for a bad decision. And most of the time, the people are clueless on the decisions that judges had made.
That's true, too.
And I had come up with an idea where I was going to let people that you could write a opinion of that judge and in the election book, but I would give that judge the last word to rebut those things. And they hated that more than anything, because they didn't really want, they'd rather have you be a clueless voter than have you be an informed voter.
Wow.
You know, which judge upholds the Constitution, you know, and which judge doesn't.
I want to say thank you for posting that you did it under duress, because it woke a lot of people up, and it got to, I'm one of the people that have been very fortunate to ask you questions about the election process and what it means to canvass and what it means to certify. So if you didn't canvass, the downfall is, all of those Republican votes, all of your constituents, their votes wouldn't have counted towards our election, and they would have certified, and what could have possibly happened as a result of that.
So if Mojave County was to not certify, then our votes for the statewide candidates would not be put into the tally. So that would mean that the four seats that we did win, the attorney general is still in play, superintendent of public instruction and the two corporation commissioner seats would most likely lose, because without Mojave County's votes, those races are tight enough that those folks would lose. The other issue is we had our judge election this election here in Mojave County. We had six Superior Court judges elected. Those judges would then lose their term at the first of the year. New judges would be appointed by potential Governor Katie Hobbs. The other positions would be filled however a vacancy is filled, whether it's by the governor or by the Board of Supervisors. So you effectively would disenfranchise all of my voters from their votes would mean nothing if we didn't canvass. So it's really a quandary, you know, knowing what the downside was. We could certify election that people have questions over, or we could not certify it and have all of our votes dismissed.
Interesting. So I feel like there's no good answer here.
Right. No, it's a bunch of gray answers.
It feels like it's doom all the way around. Yeah. If you had a bad election, you can't re-vote in your county, because you just said that you don't feel it's within your political power to do a new election. So you can't redo the election. So then you have to canvass this thing. Otherwise, nobody's votes count. And you didn't, and like, let's say your constituents didn't want, it just seems like there is a no-win situation. And it sounds like that was a planned thing over a period of time, not anything that just happened overnight, but it's brilliant. This plan is brilliant if you are on the other side doing all this nefarious thing.
After I was on Steve Bannon's show last week, after that, I had a county supervisor from Kansas send me an email, and he looked at Kansas canvas statutes, and they're almost identical to Arizona.
Oh, no.
And he said he never realized, he was a retired supervisor. He said he'd never realized that canvassing was just a rubber stamp.
That's really sad. It's, I don't know what other word to use except really, really, really sad. So an idea I have is that all the Republican supervisors in all the counties that are controlled by Republicans should probably do an audit. It doesn't hurt to do an audit. That way you guys know how better to run your elections, number one. But what comes to mind when you said you weren't worried about your election because you feel like you're a person of integrity, you probably feel like your colleagues are people of integrity. Tina Peters in Colorado was an elected official, and she also thought that her elections were ran well. But what she didn't know is when she started digging in, because her constituents started saying stuff, she found out there was other hands involved. Maybe her part was done fine, but what she didn't know was there was other things in the background that was affecting her elections. And if Maricopa was the only one to do an audit, maybe we need to figure out in the other counties that our supervisors hold seats for, maybe we need to do something and see if, just to make sure the other counties are safe and they're not just coming after Maricopa and Pima County.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, because you can, it's now been over 22 months since the 20 election. So you can get at that cast voter roll from that election and take a look at that. Are you familiar with the test hand count that we do in Arizona?
No, can you please explain that to me?
What, I used to be the Republican Party chairman in Mojave County for 4 years. So the Arizona, after the problems in the 2004 election, we instituted a thing called the test hand count. So that what happens is after the election day, the Republican chairman and the Democrat chairman go to the county seat with the election director, and they randomly pull four different races. They'll pull a statewide race in a precinct, a federal race in a precinct, a legislative race, and a ballot initiative. And those are four different races in four different precincts. And then they do a test hand count. So they hand count those precincts. And if I believe you can only be a half a percent off before you have to expand that count to count the whole county. Mm. And the logic behind that was that hand count tests the voting machines. Because you're looking at the tabulation from the tabulation machine, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the actual ballots. The physical ballots are counted. And so that's how you determine whether there's a problem between the voting machine and the ballot. So
go ahead.
There's always ways that you think that somebody could cheat, and what you're trying to do is make it hard to cheat.
Right.
And so for that, you'd actually have to get ballots. You'd have to substitute ballots into that batch of ballots from that precinct.
Well, my idea is if we can get the Republican county supervisors to do an audit, they could, I mean, Jovan would be happy to give you his technology to make sure that there wasn't, that the ballots are legitimate ballots, that it wasn't pre-printed. I mean, he'd be happy. In a second, he'd come to Arizona and give you, especially you, because you had that great interview with him, he'd especially love to work with you. And if you could, as a supervisor in Arizona, and realize that your voters are disenfranchised by what's happening in Maricopa, and mm-hmm. reach out maybe to your other colleagues in other counties, maybe we can win this way. All I know is throughout the American history, when there was a problem, it was very rare that the resolution came from people in office. It usually came from grassroots efforts. You look at what happened with the civil rights movement, and it took a large group of people who peacefully protested, who peacefully kept growing their movement to where things started happening as a result of educating the court of public opinion, which eventually started creating rulings in the actual court of law. And then out of that, like, laws started changing. But it started with the movement of the people. It didn't start from the top down. It started from the bottom up. Yeah. But you are close to the people because you are a county board of supervisors. And if you want to help people in Maricopa, that would be great. If you and the other supervisors could help us and do an audit. And then if you find out, just like you assumed, your audit was great, then wonderful.
Right.
But what if that helps us in Maricopa realize that it's not great and that could help us, and then we can somehow improve our election process here?
Right. We'll see what comes. If we do decide to sue Maricopa County and the Secretary of State, we'll see what comes out of that, because they may have to prove that they're not incompetent, which might mean that we can get into that stuff.
Wow, I just learned a lot today just talking to you. So thank you so much for coming on the show today and educating us about what really happens behind the scenes, or what doesn't happen behind the scenes.
Yeah, it doesn't get better, I'll tell you. The more I talk, the worse it gets. I'm sorry about that. But I think it's better for people to know what's going on than to be, oblivious to the fact.
Yeah.
Things are going on behind the scenes.
We have to know where the handcuffs are so we can start, as people, removing the handcuffs off of our elected officials, because having ballots and being able to get to the ballots is the most important thing. What the heck are we keeping them for if we can't ever go back and make sure that our elections are right? I mean,
well, you can go back, but it's 2 years later.
Right. And that's too late.
If we can get a court order to get the ones from the 22 election, we can go ahead and do it off of the 20 election, because they have to, those are no longer sequestered. I don't know how you get at those, but I'll find out.
Well, hey, my show's always available to you. If you ever want to get out and get your message out, please reach out to me. I'd love to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. You have a great day and a Merry Christmas.
We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out thecommandersartist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at thecommandersartist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you could support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today, use promo code Amber, and save some money at checkout.